Hello and welcome to the Clinical Oncology Podcast. Today we'll be focusing on internal mammary node radiotherapy for the treatment of early breast cancer. I'm Saif Ahmed, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Professor Philippe Portmans, who alongside Professor Timothy Whelan has written an excellent editorial in the journal's December issue. In this podcast, our discussions will include the rationale and evidence for internal mammary node radiotherapy and how we can best optimize radiotherapy technique to treat these nodes within the clinic. I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Philippe Portmans. He is Departmental Head of Radiation Oncology at Radboud University Medical Center in Nijmegen, Holland, and also the current president of ESTRO. More pertinently, he is the first author of an EORTC trial recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine that investigates internal mammary node radiotherapy in the treatment of early breast cancer. Many thanks for joining us, Philip.
It's a pleasure for me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the background of this study and why it was done?
Well, we used to start treating breast cancer with the most aggressive approaches we had. So it's from more than 100 years ago that the radical mastectomies were invented. Gradually, this was taken over by less aggressive surgery, but with more radiation therapy added to the surgery. And initially, we treated in a way as much as we could. So that means that we included, after mastectomy, the entire chest wall and all the regional lymph nodes, because the belief at that time was very fixed to the idea that breast cancer spread from the breast to the lymph nodes and then further into the body. This changed slightly when Bernard Fischer had the hypothesis on the systemic disease which breast cancer might be as well, so meaning that this consecutive event happening is not always true and that some small breast cancer can metastasize without lymph node involvement and the other way around. Now anyway, it was well balanced at the end of the 80s by the so-called spectrum hypothesis. Now, up to the 80s, it was still very common to, either after mastectomy or in the framework of breast conserving therapy, to treat the entire breast, and in the case of nodal involvement, also all the regional lymphatics, including the internal mammary. And gradually, survival after breast cancer improved, but it was not at all at the level that we see now today. In 1988, Jack Cusack published an article in which he clearly demonstrated that radiation therapy indeed lowered the risk for recurrent breast cancer, that initially it might have a beneficial effect on survival as well, but that later on the benefits of radiation therapy were in a way lost due to an increased rate of cardiovascular morbidity. And this was especially linked to the treatment of the internal mammary lymph nodes. So at the end of the 80s, many breast cancer specialists started to doubt whether we should continue by treating all lymph node areas for all patients with involved lymph nodes in the axilla. So the discussion started, and when this trial was proposed in the early 90s for the first time, about half of the radiation therapy departments in most countries in Europe had the habit or the custom to routinely treat the internal mammary lymph nodes, while the other half did not routinely treat them. So the trial was set up to see whether it was of any use for patients who had either involved axillary lymph nodes, irrespective of the position of the primary tumor in the breast, or with a primary tumor at the medial site of the breast, so located closer to the parasternal, the internal mammary lymph nodes. For those patients, it was considered also a valid question to investigate treatment of the internal mammary lymph nodes, even if the axilla was negative, so not involved by cancer cells.
You've touched a little bit upon how the trial was done. Can you briefly explain a little bit more about the inclusion criteria and which patients were recruited?
Roughly spoken, all patients who had non-metastasized breast cancer could participate. So all patients with stage 1 to 3, on the condition that they either had axillary lymph node involvement or if they didn't have axillary lymph node involvement, that the tumor was dominantly medially located in the breast. So it can be a central tumor. If the extension was also clearly medially, the patients were eligible as well. In our trial, about 3/4 of the patients had breast-conserving therapy, while 1/4 had a mastectomy. The big majority, because accrual was from 96 to 2004, big majority had a full axillary clearance, or in some departments, a partial axillary dissection, and only a minority had the benefit of central and lymph node biopsy, and then based on the central lymph node, targeted approach to the axilla.
And can you tell us a little bit about the fractionation schedule that was used and the treatment volumes that were tested?
The trial was first designed in 92, and initially we had quite some discussion to get it through the protocol review committee. Anyway, in 95, the trial was finalized, and then we set up a very thorough quality assurance program linked to this study. So basically, as we were in the mid of the 90s and most of the radiation therapy departments fully worked with simulator-based radiation therapy, we had a very standard approach with most often the two tangential fields and then a mixed photon electron from anterior or slightly inclined treatment field to the internal mammary lymph nodes and the medial supraclavicular lymph nodes. On the other hand, we also allowed other treatment techniques, and nearly half of the participants used an improved standard technique, meaning that the basic setup was the same, but that they, for example, shifted the junction zone of the different radiation fields in order to get a more homogeneous dose distribution and less side effects, or they individually adapted the electron energy and the prescription depth of photons and electrons to the exact sites of the internal mammary lymph nodes if they measured them, for example, using ultrasound or a CT scan. And two of the largest accruing centers, they used a completely individualized 3D technique, which we consider even nowadays, 20 years later, as the basis of the 3D conformal radiation therapy and locoregional treatments. One of those centers was mine. So roughly spoken, 1/3 of the patients had standard technique, a little bit more than 1/5 had the individualized 3D conformal technique, and 45% had a standard approach with some improvements. These were the techniques used. This was thoroughly checked by the quality assurance program, so we performed a dummy run on beforehand. This dummy run was on paper patients, and the participants needed to do treatment planning on a paper patient. It was evaluated, and then later on for 3 patients treated without internal mammary lymph node irradiation and 3 patients treated with internal mammary lymph node irradiation, we performed a very thorough check of the entire patient file, including tumor and patient data, but of course also the technical aspects of radiation therapy.
And what did your results show?
Well, the trial started 20 years ago and there were a lot of expectations. At that time, we had firm believers and firm non-believers. And in a way, I think that we can say that nobody was right and nobody was wrong. If we take the results overall, we see that there is a benefit of locoregional radiation therapy. So in our case, treatment of the internal mammary lymph nodes and the medial supraclavicular lymph nodes, and that this benefit was seen, roughly spoken, to about the same extent in all patient subgroups. So the patients without axillary lymph node involvement but with a medially located tumor had the same benefit as those with a laterally located tumor and a lot of involved lymph nodes. We need to go more in detail. Now, with 4,004 patients in our trial, we can do this. So we plan a very detailed subgroup analysis, also on side effects for the near future. And that will probably guide us more on which patients will show most benefit. Remarkably, the benefit was not only limited to local regional recurrence rates. Even more, this was not so clear. The benefit is especially seen on the rate of distant metastasis. And this completely fits to the idea that the lymph nodes which are or are not in this trial treated by this radiation therapy fields, those lymph nodes are not easily visible when a patient has recurrent tumor. It means that once a patient has distant metastasis, we even do not look carefully whether or not there are involved lymph nodes in the upper top, not operated part of the axilla, or in the internal mammary lymph node area. Now we use more PET scanning to do evaluation of metastatic patients, and now suddenly, what we did not see in the past, we see indeed involved lymph nodes in the internal mammary lymph node area. So probably they always have been there, but we didn't know. The moment that you have locoregional recurrences without any complaints, you cannot see them. And once you have distant metastasis, you don't look for them. So the biggest difference of 3% overall at 10 years is for distant metastasis. They recur less after internal mammary lymph node irradiation. This translates also into a 3% improved overall disease-free survival and into a 1.9% improved breast cancer-related survival and a 1.6% improved overall survival. At the same time, we saw a low rate of side effects, especially long-term side effects when measured in a cross-sectional way, were much lower than we anticipated in the past, with virtually no grade 3 side effects, very little grade 2, and predominantly grade 1, or even for more than half of the patients, no side effects at all. What was expected based on the publications of the 80s and the EBCTCG overview was that we might have an increased rate of serious cardiovascular morbidity and mortality or more severe pulmonary toxicity with even a possible higher rate of secondary radiation-induced cancer in, for example, the lungs. We could not see this at a median follow-up of 10.9 years.
What do your results tell us about which patients we should be treating with internal mammary node radiotherapy?
The results are hypothesis generating and thought provoking in a way. We also have results of three other important trials. One was a French trial in patients with a much worse prognosis who had 10% overall survival less at 5 years and 20% less at 10 years. They showed a marginal and non-significant benefit for regional radiation therapy. Then we have the ERTC trial and, very similarly, a Canadian-American trial, the MA20, which showed similar results to the ERTC trial. Those patients have more than 80% overall survival, both in the ERTC trial and in the Canadian-American trial. This shows the huge improvement. When we designed the trial, we estimated the 10-year overall survival to be around 50%. In 2000, we realized things were changing. We redid the statistics and the design of the trial, and we adjusted to 75%. And now we end above 80%. This means that overall survival has been improved, also thanks to earlier diagnosis, better pathology, better surgery, better anesthetic care, better radiation therapy, better systemic therapy. And this might also explain why we see a benefit. And in the ERTC trial, it is very remarkable and completely consistent with this that we see most of the benefit. P-value is 0.07, so it is a trend. Patients who have only chemotherapy, that are probably the patients with a poor prognosis because they need chemotherapy and they don't get hormonal therapy because they are ER negative, they have no benefit. Patients with hormonal therapy, they have a clear benefit, and when they get both therapies, they have most benefit. So patients who have a lower risk and are patients who get better systemic therapy have more benefit from optimizing locoregional treatment. That is, in a way, the interpretation which fits completely the results of all those trials. There is an even more recent trial, which is not yet published and which is population-based, from the Danish breast cancer group, and they have shown even a 4.4% overall survival benefit at 10 years for internal mammary lymph node irradiation. And this trial was run from 2003 to 2007, so with even more contemporary systemic therapy approaches. So this also fits completely into the picture as a whole. On the other hand, of course, we want to see a clear benefit for one treatment or the other. If we say adding taxanes give a benefit of 2%, that's for the whole group. If prognosis improves thanks to earlier detection, this 2% might go down. The same is for the regional radiation therapy. The benefit up to now is very modest. I expect personally, and most of the investigators do, that with the follow-up of 15 and 20 years, we will see more benefit. And also, to be honest, I do not expect a clear increase in lethal toxicity. Because I did the quality assurance in this trial, it was done not at a level that we can do today, but already a lot better than the patients who were treated in the 70s and the 80s. So I expect that the difference, the benefit in overall survival, might go up in the coming years. Of course, we have to check this always, and this goes for surgery, systemic therapy, and radiation therapy for all together, with the overall results, which depend to a great extent to the patient population that is referred for treatment.
And how do all these studies that you've mentioned fit in with the growing surgical trend of avoiding local therapy to patients with 1 to 2 axillary lymph nodes based on the Z11 study?
Now I can answer very short to that. They don't. And the clear difference can be explained by two simple facts. One is that axillary lymph node recurrence is a lousy endpoint for the same reason as I just explained about the internal mammary lymph nodes and the supraclavicular lymph nodes. Once the patients have distant metastasis, we don't look anymore for regional recurrences because they are not of any concern, they are not relevant anymore. We know also that by performing PET scanning, for example, we see them popping up. Many more patients than we thought indeed have regional recurrences, and they might be the source for further seeding. And then I come to the second very important point. All those studies are based on a too short follow-up. The big difference is that our radiation therapy trials are evaluated after a careful period of 10 years, and axillary approach studies are all presented after around 5 years. And this is just not enough.
Looking on to some more broad issues now, how do we get clinicians across Europe and across the world to contour internal mammary nodes in the same way?
I'm very confident that the recently published ESTRO guidelines will help to a great extent in this. They're very clearly defining what we should do. We give all the tools we need to train in it. We have a PDF slice by slice with 2.5 millimeters in between. We provide them also via the ESTRO website as a DICOM RT file, so you can upload the expert-based contouring into your own volume contouring systems to check and to train. Moreover, I think that currently most radiation oncologists are aware of the fact that we should limit the irradiated part of the body as much as possible. And if we proper contour our volumes according to the ESTRO guidelines, we end up with a volume of breast and lymph nodes that often will at the end be smaller than what we did simulator based on the breast alone. So by more carefully contouring breast and lymph nodes very tightly where they really are and then adding the margins, improving your techniques of image guidance radiation therapy so that you can limit the margins required for setup variability, you will end up with quite small volumes with much less heart and pulmonary tissue into the irradiated fields.
Sticking with radiotherapy technique now, are there any specific considerations that may need to be taken when treating the internal mammary nodes?
I very much like this question. Radiation technique is, in a way, a tool, but it's not a goal in itself. I often hear from colleagues that are speaking about we have to use IMRT. No, that's not true. We have to deliver a homogeneous dose to the target volumes, taking into account the risk for recurrence at specific sites within the target volumes, taking into account that we need a homogeneous dose to have lower rates of side effects, and carefully watching the dose to the organs at risk, especially the heart and the lungs. So what we need is a set of parameters. And the set of parameters is a dose prescription. In our trial, it still used to be 25 times 2 gray to the entire target volume. Now we introduced in many countries hypofractionated radiation therapy. Personally, as most centers in the Netherlands do, we use the Canadian schedule, which is the 16 times 2.66 gray. But I'm confident that the UK schedule with 15 times 2.67 will be as good. And a part of these prescribed doses, you need to very precisely do the contouring to limit the sizes as much as possible, but not too much. And you have to define dose constraints for the organs at risk. And I think that most centers will be able to develop their own technique, which is often a modification of another technique. But depending on the setup that we have, the breadboard, the treatment machines, the treatment planning computer, etc., etc., the techniques might vary from one center to another while being as good, completely comparable. And this will fit for about 80% of the patients, the so-called Pareto principle. And for 20% of the patients, we will have to individualize. Sometimes we will need to have a complete volumetric IMRT setup. Sometimes we will need to use electron beams. Sometimes we might choose for a completely modified treatment positioning, for example, a prone position for the breast, etc. But this also depends highly to the experience and infrastructure of the individual radiation oncology department.
Philip, we'll have to leave it there, but I must say it's been a highly insightful, informative and engaging set of comments that you've shared with us today. Thank you very much for joining us.